Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. We're still holding on daf Yud Gimel on the base. And we were five lines from the bottom. So we're trying to figure out how it would be possible to use lechem where the lechem isn't totally pasul, which was our first approach was that lechem is pasul. By definition, it's bound statistically to be lechem pasul there. The other approach is that we're not mechuyev necessarily use lechem pasul. We could even use lechem that's kasher, but we said it's kasher in the sense of a single matir, having been matirit in steps. So the first, incrementally, we're matir. The first step is that we give it kedushas haguf, that it becomes pasul now, the lina, and so on and so forth. The second matir, in the case, let's say, we have boshchita and zrika for zebach, that's matir b'lechem. The second matir is matir b'achila. So you can't eat it, but it's not possible. But since in this case, we spoke about a case where the dam wasn't yet nizrak, or where the dam was bekos, but it was nishpach. So it worked out even according to Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Fiot kolam et lizrak gezoruk dami, it's certainly as if both matir and madir, at least as far as being machlis, it look kedushas haguf, and now you're not allowed to eat it. On the other hand, they're not mamish psulot. So, I mean, it's just a question of determining whether when we say that we use the lechem as a simen, it means it was literally unusable, and that it's chayiv and sreifa, or that it's not yet chayiv and sreifa because it's still an ibur tzura. In other words, it needs to become nifsal with as noser. But we use it even in that case because there's no way that we would be able to eat it anyway. That's what we were up to. Tare mishum Rabbi Elazar amru ksherotayu. Actually, they weren't even possible at all. It's not that there was one matir, we're missing another matir. They were actually roi l'achila. So you'll ask, if they're roi l'achila, so then why did we leave them up there to become nifsa? Oh, says Tosis, it has to be that this approach holds that the maisa was indeed not a maisa like Rabbi Yehuda, it was a maisa like Rabbi Gamliel. And since, according to Rabbi Gamliel, truma, in this case, lach betoda, the same kedusha, so truma, you're allowed to eat an additional hour, so it really wasn't nifsa. It's just that it was a simon to the yam as to what time it is. But I still was able to eat it, so they took it towards the end of the fifth hour and ate it up. But it's not that they allowed it to become possible because now there would be no way to eat it. Okay, that's a whole different approach. So, kozman shemunachot kol ha'am ochlim, nitla akat mehem tolin lo ochlim velo sorfim, nitlu shtehen nitchilu kulam sorfim. So it became the beginning of the sha'a ha'shishit, but lamaisa, since this was Kadesh, they were able to eat it, since this was before they burnt.
The second loaf, they would have to eat it right away?
Right away, yeah. Tanya Abba Shaul Omer. Abba Shaul says there was a different siman. Shtei parot hayu choshot bahar hamashchach, kozman shishteihem choshot kol ha'am ochlim. It was a much more visible siman. They had two parot up on Har HaZeitim that everybody could see from Yerushalayim. And these parot, the Rishon says they weren't literally doing Malacha, but it looked like they were doing Malacha, because L'chora Yerushalayim, being it's a place where everybody comes together, has to be Noheg, the Isser, not to do Malacha on Erev Pesach. And I would say, we'll see later on a different minhagim in that, but certainly in Yerushalayim they wouldn't have done Keneged, the minhag of many people. So certainly they weren't really being Choshot, but they left them up there as if they were being Choshot. So as long as they were working, or looked like they were choshot, so then kolam ochlin was still time for akilat chametz. Nitla achat mehem. When you took away one, it was a simon, it was the end of the shah, revit, beginning of chamishit. So tolin, you're still allowed to be neder, lo ochlin, but lo sorfim. Nitlu shtehen, nitchilu kolam sorfim. That way everybody could clearly see the simon. Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim Omer. The reason that we're bringing this Mishnah here is because it's Nogea, the sugi that we just have. Because what we're talking about over here essentially is burning truma, or burning kachin, even though we have a chiyuv to take good care of truma, shmer truma time. So what are we burning it early for, and so on? So that already leads to the other question. If there's no longer a chiyuv of shmer, Tosfos raised this question earlier. What would be the right, actually, to do this? So he says, because there's no chiyuv, the gufer brings a raya from this sugya. That even though b'diraisa b'bito b'alma sagi, so Tosfos says before, you don't really need tzreifa. But since it's a given that it's going to become ne'esar, so it's as if it's avud already, it's as if it's wrecked. And once it's avud, we have a right to burn it. V'araya, we'll see later on in the coming Mishnah, that we're metameit. So in which Tosis basically has showed us the way that the sugya leads into the next sugya. We've discussed the concept of tumah that is holach le'ibud, or kochim nochim le'ibud, and we now see that we don't have the same chiyuv of mishmer trumotai. So the next Mishnah points out that indeed there's a mocker for this, that once something is nifsal, there's no longer a chiyuv of shmira on it. So let's say something is nifsal to some extent. You have to make sure it doesn't become nifsal totally, to become more tare than it was. And from that, we'll go back again to see how it impacts upon the halakas of Srefat Chametz. So we begin with something that has nothing to do with Chametz directly, which Rebbe Chanina is Sgan HaKohanim. Rebbe Chanina, although he wasn't a Kohen Gadol, he was the Sgan. The Sgan was the Kohen who was appointed to take the place of the Kohen Gadol in case it would be Nitman Yom HaKippurim. And then Mamele also had various milas. He would be to the Sefer Torah to give for the Kriyat. So it was a darga of Chashivas next to the Kohen Gadol. And he was made that Mimehem Shel Kohanim, no matter what the situation was, they never were nimnu milisrof et abasar. Tosfos later on suggests there's importance to that word mimehem, because the mashmaut is it means mimehem. Other Rishon Rashi also is meramis the same thing, that even before there was the gzeira of the yud ches dover, so there were different levels of things that we weren't makbet on, and we'll see how that's nageya later. But under no circumstances was there ever a hakpada to burn et abasar shenitma bevlad hatuma. You may have had basar of kodesh that had touched, let's say, a rishon latuma. So again, our terminology of the avot hatuma could be either avi avot hatuma, which is a mate itself, or avot hatuma, which is something that either touched a mate, or we have all of our list of various mitami. So we have the sherets, we have all the totsa'ot of zov, shechvat zerav, all things that would be rishon latuma, avatuma. If they touch something, that thing becomes a rishon latuma. A rishon latuma is already called a vlad hatuma. Now there's such a thing as a sheni. If a rishon touches something else, it makes it a sheni. Technically, I mean, we usually don't use the word, but that would be called Vlad Hatuma, the child of the child of the Av Hatuma. Okay, so over here, what it seems to be saying, the Gemara is going to have to make it a little bit clearer, because it doesn't make sense as we read in the Mishnah, but there was never any doubt about going ahead and burning Basar that was Nitma B'Vlad Hatuma. It was Nitma B'Vlad Hatuma, I mean, the assumption is that it's a sheni b'tumah, because the vlad would mean rishon. Let's assume for a moment that's what it means. So we have over here basar that's a sheni, and there was never any hakpada about burning it together with basar shenitma ba'avatumah, which is a rishon, which doesn't make sense. Why would there be? Because even if the rishon would touch the sheni, he would only make it a sheni again. So I mean, there wouldn't be any additional tumah. So obviously, we're going to have to change our assumptions about the case, because the Mishnah continues to say, "Afu pishu masifin tumah tumaton," even though this will cause the sheni to become more tame than it was. So something's wrong. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has added another step. He said, "Well, it goes beyond that." Mibehem shekohanim lo nimnu milahadlik et hashemen shenifsal betful yom. Now here we enter another tchum, which is called the difference between tuma and psul. So normally we talk about a vlad hatuma. That vlad hatuma is called a vlad because it descended from an av, but it's also called the tuma because it can make something tame. That's the definition of the word tuma. However, there is another concept that relates to tuma, which means something that became tamei, but which doesn't have the ability to be tamei further. So you can't technically call that tamei because the definition of tamei is that it's metamei. So we call that pasul. So once we reach the bottom of the hierarchy of what we're able to be metamei further, it becomes pasul. Now, not necessarily is the level that we call pasul the equivalent to the same level that would be tamei. So that you may have a shlishi latuma, which became nifsa by a sheni, but then it can make a revi bekodesh. So that's why it would be called tamei shlishi. But you can have something that became tamei from a sheni, which cannot make a revi. And therefore, even though technically speaking it's the equivalent of a shlishi, but it's only possible, it's not tamei. The din is that a tful yom, who is somebody that was tamei but went to the mikveh and now has to wait until the evening in order to become tahor, has a din of being able to pasul truma if he touches it, but he can't make it tamei. Which means that that truma is in the equivalent stage of shlishi, and truma can't go further than shlishi, but it's less than a real shlishi of truma, because if there had been a shlishi of truma that touched kodesh, let's say it touched yayin of kodesh, it would have been metami the yayin of kodesh. But a shlishi that only is makabel from a sheni within truma, that's a tful yom, every tful yom is a din of a sheni, is only possible. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, I'll tell you something bigger chiddush than you told me. If we have shemen that was nifsal b'tful yom, then once it's nifsal b'tful yom, it's essentially a shlishi. They never had any reservations about being madlik, burning that shemen together with, or in a container, in a ner, shenitma b'tomei meis, where that ner had come in contact with a tomei meis. Now let's try to figure out what that would mean. Because a ner, which is let's assume for the moment that it's talking about a standard lamp made out of charis. Okay, so that ner touches someone who touched a mate, because that's the meaning of a tamei mate. So someone who touched a mate is an avatuma. An avatuma can be metamei kalin. Otherwise, kalin are not mekabel tuma. We need to touch an avatuma to be mekabel tuma at all. So in other words, the ner now became a risha, right? If the ner now touches the shemen shenifsal b'tful yom, so now it would make it a sheni. So even though it's being mosif tumal tumatos, I'm telling you a bigger fish. Of course, obviously this isn't going to work the way we just analyzed it. Because if the chiddush is that we're being mosif to a shlishi to make it a sheni, then ultimately that's going to have to boil down to what the chiddush was in Rabbi Hanina's Ganakonim as well. Because it can't possibly mean that the cases that we're being mosif to, the way we're reading it over here, we're mosif to a sheni to be a sheni. Because that's the way, that's what he said. I mean, Rabbi Hanina's Ganakonim was saying is that Bosher was nitma bevlad atuma, so then it would be a sheni. There's no problem of burning it together with a rishon atuma, which would make it a sheni, which is absurd. It isn't mosif tuma tumata. So whatever we're going to do, we're going to end up saying the same thing that Rabbi Akiva said. So in other words, we're really being boxed in by this mission, because if we fix Rabbi Hanina's Ganakonim, then we're going to end up with Rabbi Akiva not adding anything. Okay, and this is where we're going to have problems in the sugya. Omer Rabbi Meir, midivreim lamanu. So from this now we can come to understand the halacha about Srefat Chametz. Because since it appears that we don't care once we're going to be metame, once something is tame already, we don't care about adding tuma to it. So if that would be the case, then we ought to be able to take truma tahora with truma tamea and burn it on Pesach, even though we're putting them together and we're going to be metame it. Doesn't matter, because it's hopeless anyway. Basically, it's usher to eat it now. So why shouldn't we just burn it, even though we're being metame it? Rabbi Yossi, I don't understand. How does that follow? The case that we had was that the thing was tame, and now you're saying you add tuma, and you're saying that even in a case where the thing is tahar, that you're going to make it tame. That's the same to you. That's the same. Doesn't sound the same to me at all. Umodim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Even though we'll see later on that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua about this issue, of course Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua would both be moda that you'd have to burn Truma Tahora separately from Truma Tameya when it's Erev Pesach. That's ridiculous. The only machlokes that we'll find later is you, Rabbi Meir, are claiming that you could take Truma Tahora and burn it with Tameya. Nobody said that. The most that they said is that there's a shita that holds that if the Truma is already Tluya, meaning it's a Suffolk Tuma, and you're burning it because of a Suffolk Tuma, so then the same Suffolk Tuma you might as well burn as a Vaday Tuma. But to say you should, are allowed l'chatchila to be Matame Truma, during a time in which Midiraisa it's kosher, really, because you're burning in the sixth hour, and you're going to be Matame something which is an Issur D'Oraisa, I don't understand how do you reach that. Bishlam, if there was a Tuma on it already, so you're saying the Torah isn't market to add. That's all the Rekhaninus Ganakonim said. Where in the world do you come up with an idea that since ultimately it's going to be burned, therefore it can be Matame? That just doesn't follow. There, Rabbi Eliezer says that even though it's only a suffix, you have to keep it separate from Vaday Truma. Tisarev Zulatzma, Zulatzma. Rabbi Yeshua says, look, if anyway it's a suffix Tuma, and therefore anyway you're not going to be able to use it because you have to be marked by the suffix, so Mameli can burn them together. But who would have gone to say that you can actually burn Tahira with a Tumea? Says the Gemara, now let's try to understand the case in this Mishnah, because as stated, it seems absurd. Let me just get this straight. When the Mishnah says that you have two things, one of the things is meat that became tameh by coming in contact with a vlad hatum. I assume that vlad hatum is a rishon. Okay, so what is it? It's a sheni. Now you're saying I'm allowed to burn it together with basar that became tameh from an avatum. Okay, so kisarif lebahari basar shenitma ba'avatum. Now that I'll burn it together with meat that became tummy from an avatuma, which is what? A rishon latuma. The meat now becomes a rishon latuma. So I'm allowed to burn it together, even though when they come in contact, what's going to happen? The rishon will make the sheni a sheni again. Hello? It already is a sheni. What do you mean you're being mosif tuma tumasa? So if it's my avi sheni, so sheni v'sheni, I understand. I'm mosif tuma tumasa. All you're doing is a repeat. Amar Rav Yehuda, no, okay, I mean, clearly that doesn't work. We're going to have to say that we're talking about over here when it said, shenitma bevlad atum, it didn't mean the first vlad. You took for granted a vlad is the child of the av, meaning that's a rishon. Maybe it's the grandchild of the av. It's also a vlad. B'nei banim kebanim. So Mamela, the grandchild over here, maybe it would be a Vlad Atuma. So over there, that means we started off with a Sheni. Meat touched that Sheni, became a Shlishi, and now you're telling me that I'm allowed to burn it with meat that touched an Avatuma, which is a Rishon Latuma, and now you're saying the Rishon could touch the Shlishi, making it a Sheni. So I'm being Mosif on the Shlishi, another level of Tuma to make a Sheni. Fine. So that must be the case. Ocha bivlad Vlad Askina. And therefore, what Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim boils down to saying is that Shlishi mutar lasoto sheni. Huh? You're allowed to make, once it's already tummy, the Shlishi, you're allowed to add a level of tuma of a sheni to it. Now, the problem with that is that Bishlema, if meat is makabal tuma from a person, from a kli, from a mashgim, I'm like, fine, I understand. Here, the whole Mishnah is predicated on the meat being makabel tuma from the meat. Basar is being makabel tuma from basar that was nitma from something that was makabel tuma. So now you're assuming that I'm going to be able to metame meat from another piece of meat. No, that doesn't work. Ain't ocha metame ocha. The halacha is that one foodstuff is not metame another foodstuff. Titanya. You might think that the dinim of Av and Vlad and Vlad Vlad and so on are said by food as well. Talmud Lomar v'chi yutan mayim al zera v'nafal minivlatam alav tamei hu. What's the hu? Tamei. Alav, tamei. Tamei hu means hu tamei, that only it can be tamei, but ain't a security but tamei. It cannot give that tumor to another thing like itself.
Because.
Yeah. So therefore, what's the Mishlema, if you'll say, like Abaye, that maybe there's an afkamina between Chulin and Truma v'Kachin. So you say, okay, we're talking over here about Kachin. So according to Abaye, the Omar Lo Shana l'b'Chulin, Avu b'Truma v'Kachin Moseka Yotzibo. So if you hold that Basar could be Matami Basar, if we're talking about Truma v'Chulin, or you know what? Even according to Rav Abba Bar Ava, won't go that far, but he quotes Rav as saying that Loshan al Chulin v'Truma. So the Truma is the same as Chulin in this issue. But Kachim Osek Yotzi, but we'll see later on what possible marker there could be to differentiate in the Pasuk between Chulin, Truma, or Kachim. First we have to get through the Sugya. Okay, so then Sharpen, and the Mishnah begins to make sense. Because here we're talking about Mimeim Shekonim, we're talking about Basar of a Karbon, which is Kodesh. Meat can be Matame meat. I accept that. But according to Ravina Mishmeda Rava, the way Ravina quoted Rava, which was very different than the way Ravada Barava quoted Rava, and he says, Mikra Molei Dibur HaKasuk. Look, I don't know, where do you get the idea? You could start making differentiations in a Pasuk, I understand. Pasuk says, Tamehu, period. Did the Pasuk say, I'm talking about Chulin? I'm talking about Kachim? I just said, Tamehu, that's the din of Tumah. Where do you get off of creating differences in a Pasuk that is simply speaking about any case? So, Loshna Chulin, Loshna Truma, Loshna Kachim, there's no such thing. Tamehu means, Eino Oseki Otsibo, one piece of meat cannot be Matame another meat. So, well, what's the meaning of this whole Mishnah? It's ridiculous. They never hesitated to burn meat with meat, even though the meat wasn't going to be the time of the other meat. Well, obviously, what's there to hesitate about? So, Ma'ikalamema. Oh, well, I have to say that this meat is wet. Now, if the meat is wet, oh, now we got a problem. Because now the mashkim on the meat can be mekabel tuma, because ochlin are the mashkim. Now the mashkim will turn around to be the time of the ochlin. Okay, now we're talking. So alchemai askinan deika mashkim made basar. Since it's mashkim made basar, so now there was water that was or some other mashkim was dripping on it. That became tamei too, and now it's still wet. When you burn the two together, it becomes tamei machmas hamashkim. And now mashkin are always rishon, as we'll see. So now it becomes a sheni. So the chiddush is that you can make basar. It was a shlishi a sheni. That's what the chiddush is. Of course, it's a very strange way of saying it because you're not being. I mean, what are they saying? They weren't makbit to burn meat with meat. I mean, why would they be? Nobody would be. It can't be matame anyway. What you meant was they weren't makbit to burn meat with mashkin. I mean, the fact that it's meat is only because the meat serves as the base for the mashkin. I mean, but it's not really that the meat is even important over here, is it? It's the mashkin that are tummy. I mean, you want to talk about a case, I mean, it shouldn't leave out the main ingredient, should you? So, inihachi, hi, are you going to say, quote, im habasar shenitma ba'avatuma, unquote? Is that the way you want to write the Mishnah? That's the issue. You should say, quote, im habasar umashkin, unquote, mi boile. I mean, you can't leave out the main ingredient. I can't accept that shot. Ella, let's go back to what we said originally. We're talking about basar being matami basar. Albeit not miniorita, at least the way Rav is learning, the way our last quote of Rav is. In other words, but Pashtus, we can learn the Mishnah, it's even talking about a diorita, if we hold like a baya, we hold the way that Rav is saying, I'll leave it a rabata barava. But the way that Ravina is learning, he'll have to say the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush that even though midiraisa is not tuma of basar to basar, but there is midrabanan, thank you very much, a tuma basar to basar. And therefore, the chiddush is that nehi dein ochem etame ochem midiraisa, but midrabanan mia matame. So therefore, the chiddush of the Mishnah is I'm being mosif tumah derabbanan zenitzer, and therefore, since it's already tumah, not a problem.
If only it's always read from the blood in it.
Well, was it not all mashkin or matami, as you know? You need to have the shiva mashkin.
Blood is.
If that's blood, but it's usually muhal, it's not blood. It's muhal abbas.
So you may think that since it's matami, then it would become usher to do it.
From mashmalana, since it's already nifsal,
or tame. The difference is only drabana.
Well, maybe. Maybe that we have to see. Whether that's, I mean, that's going to be no gayar issue about comments. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. As it comes along, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so how are we learning now the case? The case is we have a shlishi betuma basar that is now going to become a sheni betuma by coming into contact with basar, which is a rishon, either midiraisa or midirabanan, depending on who you're going with. Okay. Taking that in consideration, and as we pointed out in the Mishnah, we're going to be awfully boxed in here. Because if that's the case of Rabbi Chanina Zakanakonim, then Rabbi Akiva hasn't added anything. Because that was the case of Rabbi Akiva. So you said, Hosef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, well, it's worse than that. They never even hesitated, Milahadlik. So what's he saying? They never hesitated, Milahadlik is a Shemin. Shenifsal Betfulyom. Shemin now became possible with the Tfulyom, but Tfulyom has a din of a Sheni. This Shemin has a din of a Shlishi. Whoops, that sounds awfully familiar. That was the first case, that the boss was a Shlishi. Okay. Now you're telling me, and they allowed you to burn that in a candle, not a candle, in a lamp, that had come into contact, he says, with a tummy mace, meaning a person who touched a mace. Okay, thank you. Then the lamp is what? Rishon. And I understand, so it made a sheni. We're saying the same thing. You could take Shemin, it's a shlishi, make a sheni. That's what Kalina's kind of going, he said. So what do you mean? He's being mosif. In what sense is he being mosif?
The lamp became
now a Rishon, because it touched a person who was Tummy Mace.
So now the lamp
will burn this oil that was previously Nifsal B'Tfuyom, which gave it a level of Shlishi. Now we're going to make it a Sheni, which is exactly what the first case was.
This is the writer that's talking about.
Maybe. We'll have to see. Perhaps that's true.
Using it as a light or burning it to burn it up? What's the difference? Were they allowed to use it as a light if it was tummy?
What's the difference? We'll see. That's an important nakuda later on. But what's the difference as far as the level of tumah is concerned? You're raising an issue that becomes important later, so let's set it aside. In a few minutes, we'll talk about it. Says the Gemara, doesn't this boil down to the same way that you just explained, Reb Chanina Zakanakonim, Michtei? But please, let's set this up over here. Shemesh Nefsa B'Tfulyom is what? Last I heard, it's a shlishi. Okay. Now, you're being madlikit in a ner that was nitma with the tummy mates. Okay. What is that ner? A sheni. So now you're telling me, Maika Mashmalan, that shlishi is mutter lasos a sheni. Excuse me, but I know half. That's exactly the same case the Rebbe Chanina Zakanakonim. You're not adding anything. You make a big deal over here to be mosif. What exactly are you adding? Amr of Yehuda, no. You're missing one point. We're not talking about a lamp that is made out of earthenware. We're talking about a lamp that is made out of metal. You'll say, what the heck is the difference what it's made out of? There's a gzerata katuv. Rachmona Amar, since the Torah said, v'chol asher yigal pnei hasadeh b'chalal cherev. Now what's this b'chalal cherev? The guy is dead. Do I care if he's dead because he was shot with a bullet or he was hit with a sword or he was poisoned? What's this halal cherev? Halal cherev oba mate? They're telling me they're two different things. So the Torah is coming to tell me now a tremendous chiddush that a halal cherev is different. Why? Because he's got a sword sticking out of him. And you didn't touch the body, you touched the sword. And nonetheless, it gives it exactly the same halacha as touching the body. Halal cherev oba mate. So what is that telling you? That as opposed to all the other cases where there's always an attenuation in spreading tumah from point A to point B, there's one unique case which applies, first of all, only to mate, which is the case of the pasuk, and furthermore, only to metal, which is the case of the pasuk, where if you touch, if you want to see a picture of a body with a sword sticking out of it, I think they have one of them in the comic books.
The Gemara Ren has it.
So we ought to really start bringing in Batman, maybe. At least the pictures would be nicer than some of the stuff we find in the movie. So therefore, if it's specifically metal, and it's specifically in terms of Tomei Meit, then if that's the case, now we're talking, baby. Because now Rabbi Akiva is not talking about a case where the lamp is a sheni betuma because it touched an avatuma. We're talking about a lamp which is an avatuma because it touched an avatuma, an anomaly in Dinei Tuma. And because of that, when we burn now the shlishi, we're going to make it a rishon. That's heavy duty, man. So now he's saying, I'll tell you one step more. You thought that we were going to make a shlishi a sheni. Ha! We can even make it a rishon. Okay. So therefore, he's being mosif. So cherav arayo kecholo, in which case now the lamp becomes an avatuma, and that means that Rabbi Akiva is saying that a shlishi is mutar la sotorishon. Wow, that's amazing. Now the truth is, we naive people wouldn't have come up with this brilliant idea. We might have had a very simple explanation without saying this. We could have said, "Now hold on a minute. There's a difference between posel and tameh, as I explained in the introduction. Something that's posel cannot be metameh further. Something that's tameh, by definition, is metameh further." So that's the question that we have in the Gemara, for instance. How do we define something that's wet? Something wet means something that if something else touches it becomes wet. Whereas something wet, something that can be detected wet in it. The truth is that we normally make a distinction in English. We'll say something is damp or something is wet. If it's damp, it means I can detect that it's wet, but it wouldn't be able to make something else wet. So in the Gemara, that's called tofeach amanat latvia. How wet is it? Tuma, by definition, is expressed with the idea of exuding something that's absorbed by something else. If it can't be absorbed by something else, it isn't exuding. In what sense? It's not detectable. So if it isn't detectable, it's no longer a phenomenon. So how can you call it tummy? The most you can do is call it pasul, because it came in contact with tumah. It makes a lot of sense. The word tumah would mean that if I use a tumah meter, that I can detect tumah coming out of it. This thing I can't detect. So what, in what sense is a tummy? A tfuyon, by definition, will only bring psul to something it touches. That's the din of a tfuyon. He pasuls. He's not metame. It's not really a shlishi, but tumah, it's a psul.
It's a third level, but it doesn't
have... You'll never be able to detect tumah coming out of it.
It won't puzzle anything else.
Correct. So therefore, it's even on the surface, it's clear what Rabbi Akiva is adding. Rabbi Akiva is, without coming on to the metal and so on, Rabbi Akiva is simply adding the fact that you, Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, was talking about changing the level of tumah in something that was tameh, and I'm talking about being metameh, something that was posel. Now, tell me that's not an addition. It's a very serious addition, as we'll speak about in a minute. So what makes Rabbi, it seems a little bit strange to insist that the lamp in the Mishnah is dafka talking about a metal lamp. I mean, why do you have to now specify the case of the Mishnah? Isn't it easier to say the Mishnah was talking across the board, and it was he was being very careful in its language, and Rabbi Akiva used the language shenifsal, because that was his chiddush. Asks the Gemara, therefore, umay duchei the Rabbi Yehuda lukwa b'der shematechef. What in the world is pressing Rabbi Yehuda to create this case in the Mishnah when the answer simply suggests itself? Look, why don't you talk about a normal lamp? A normal lamp throughout Masechet Shabbat was always a lamp that was made out of charis. So nukma b'ner shel charis, a standard lamp, is a earthenware lamp. And when Rabbi Akiva is adding to the words Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohenim, and he's saying, Hosif, what's this addition? Very simple. The addition is Dilo Hatam Tamei v'tamei, Vilo Acha Pasul v'tamei. There's tremendous differences between them. Because if you have over here something which is tameh, then that din, kodesh that's tameh, has to be burned to the Beit HaDeshen, it's potzel, like all psuli ha-mukdashim, you can't get any anof from it at the time that you burn it. It's completely off limits. Masha'en came the case of this shemen truma that was nifsal, it's mutter to be dinner from it. You put it in a lamp, you're able to use it for its light, for its heat, whatever. I mean, it's a tremendous nafkamina, even in terms of the halachas that apply to it. I mean, kosher came in terms of the din of mishmeret, where clearly the Torah would be more makpid on being metame something that has a tumah meter, or on not being metame at all. Right? It's a completely different thing. This is getting out of hands. Yeah, put back on. Are you on? Yes. So what forced Rabbi Yehuda into such a situation? Nukme b'ner shalchera, so my yis, hosif, diloha samtame v'tame, diloha kapasa v'tame. Omar Rava matnitin kishita. He has a problem with the Mishnah's language. Forget about what the hosif is for a moment. He wasn't forced into this by needing to find a case where it would be possible to say that Rabbi Akiva added. The Mishnah's language forces him into this. Look, why did the Mishnah say a ner shenitma b'tamei meis? What's the value of a tamei meis? If any avatuma, and if it's a tamei sheretz, it makes an afkamina. If you're all of a sudden, instead of talking about ba'ava tumah and bevlada tumah, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you got to tell me what type of tumah it is. What for? Because there is one tumah that is different than every other. And that is tumah meit. In what is it different? In this specific halach of bechal al cheref. No, there you go. So bechal al cheref has got to be the important ingredient in the Mishnah. In which case, I now understand that it must be a metal nair, because if it's not a metal nair, what's the difference if it's a meit or if it's a sheretz? It's exactly the same, because halal cherev is only a din in metals. Therefore, it's clear that the Mishnah is talking about a metal lamp. Once it's talking about a metal lamp, then already it's not only changing the difference here, the hosafa, between something that is nifsal and something that's tameh, but it's actually changing the level of the tumah itself, as Rabbi Yehuda suggests, that it's taking a shlishi, making it a rishon, not making it a shemi. So therefore, Amar Rava matnitin kishite. My ayre de tani ner shenitma betame meit, nitne shenitma besheretz. Ella, I ask you, what could it possibly mean that tame meit is unique? Give me a case where it's significant whether it's a tumat meit or tumat sheretz that we're talking about. Ave Omer, you're forced to only one conclusion, my friend. Metals. Zematechet. Otherwise, there's no possible difference.
Sheretz touches the
matechet. It's no difference what it is. Sheretz touches matechet. It's one level down. Metal has no different level of tumat for sheretz. Only nafkamina is in terms of mate, which we learn from
Chalal
Kerev.
Chalal Kerev is lav davka, not all matachet.
All matachet. You see it as a model.
Doesn't
have to be studied. Right. Oh, my Rava. Shmamina, from here we're forced to say that Rabbi Akiva must hold the tumat mashkin L'tamei acherim diuraita. There's a question of whether when mashkin are mitame, are they mitame further now diuraita, or are they mitame only derabbana? If Rabbi Akiva is insisting that the mashkim over here become more tame because they're being placed in the lamp, then it's obvious that he holds that the din of tumat mashkim is a tuma diuraita. We'll see later on that mashkim, according to some, cannot be metame ochlin midiuraita at all. Because, look, if he would hold that mashkim are only metame acherim midirabbanan, okay? Let's assume for a moment. Yisal kadaik midirabbanan. So now, michti. Hai ner maiko mahanya lahai shemen. Explain to me what the ner is adding to this oil. If it's to tell me lapsule gufe, if it's to tell me the din of the oil itself, the oil was possible before, it continues to be possible. Because after all, it can't be metame. So who cares what level of possible it is? If a tuma meter can't detect tuma in it, it's possible. Okay? So it was possible before, it's possible now. You're telling me before it became possible from Hasheni and now it became possible from Rishon. I don't give a hang what made it possible. Because since a tumah meter can't detect tumah coming out of it, what possible difference is there in what made it tummy? That's like saying it makes an afkamina whether somebody was shot or somebody was stabbed. He's dead. Over here it's nifsal. I can't even detect anymore what it was that killed this truma. It's all gone already, right? So it was shemen that was nifsal. Unless, of course, you hold that there's an afkamina in between possible and tummy, but that would mean that a mashkin can be metame. And that it's detectable with a tuma meter, because the way we use a tuma meter is to see what impact it has on the mashkin that are inside of it, right? I mean, how else does it measure tuma? You know?
Needs a conductor.
All right, guys. It's all right. I'm on my way to retirement, Richard. So anyway, it's possible to call you from before. Now, wait a second. Well, why understand? What makes you conclude that? Why can't you hold that your Enochinami Mashkin can't be Matami Midiraisa, but they can be Matami Midirabana? So in which case, you can have a Rabbanan Tuma meter. Then there's a big Nafkamina between being Pasal and being Tami. So maybe you're asking me, Mimai, how do you come to that conclusion? Dilma Latami Acherim Midirabana? I mean, why do you say it's the Uraisa? Ah, I'll tell you very simply. It can't possibly be Midirabanan. Because, you see, the Rabbanan made another takana when it comes to mashkim. The other takana is that mashkim always become a rishon, no matter what it is that they touch. So what's the nafkamina now that if it touches an avatumah, if it touches a rishon atumah? Mashkim that are tameim are always rishon anyway. Then the whole Mishnah breaks down, because the whole osaf of Rabbi Akiva is that the mashkin are now being placed in a different situation. They're not being placed in a different situation. If they're tameh, they're risha. So that if that's the case, you're telling me, yimid rabbanan, samayari be'avatun. Who cares what the lamp had touched? And if they had touched the risha on the tuma, if they had touched the sheni latuma, anyway, they would have been a risha on the tuma. So, well, you're saying anyway, it's only the game in rabbanan, because with your right side, I don't detect tuma here at all. So then what? So the whole case doesn't make any sense. Mashki, which by definition are Rishon, no matter what it is that touches them, comes on Rabbi Akiva to say, you could even make the tummy in a lamp, which is Mateket, which is a Rishon, the tumma. Yeah, and the Av will make them a Rishon, the tumma. Yeah, and if it was a Sheni, the tumma, and if it was a Shlishi, the tumma, whatever it is, it's a Rishon, the tumma. That's crazy. That can't be the case. Because the Tznan Kola Poselet HaTruma Metame Mashkin Liotchila, by definition, Mashkin that come into contact with anything that can even just pass or Truma, let's say even Yadayim, which is one of the Gezerot that we made, that Yadayim that will touch Truma will pass them. What's the difference? Anyway, it will turn those Mashkin into a Rishon Natuma, incredibly enough. Except for one case, which is the case it's Fulyom, which is what we started with over here. Mashkin, when Nifsal is Fulyom. The reason that we're not going to change that case is because the Tfulyom is anyway the case that we have Dioraita, where something is possibly true. You see, all the other cases we made up out of whole cloth. Those were the cases that we had back in Masechet Shabbat. With all the gzeiras, Sefer Torah being metame, Yadayim being metame, whatever those things we had reasons to be gozer. So the chiddush is that those things are metame mashkin. People will laugh. Ah, come off it, man. So therefore we made the mashkin even a risha. But when it comes to the tfuyom, nobody's going to laugh at him. That's for fairship circuit. We understand that that's a diaraisa. Divrei Torah lo tzrichim chizuk. What do I need to make it worse than it is? Over there. So what Rabbi Akiva then would be saying, now what? Here's what it would boil down to. If he doesn't hold that mashkin are tame midirai, or metame midirai, here's what it would boil down to. Rabbi Akiva adds, even the one case of mashkin, which are not tequila, because they come in contact with the tfuyom, which was a sheni, and only parceled them and gave them a level of shlishi, you can create a case where you can even have those mashkin come into contact with something which touched an avatum and is now itself an avatuma because it's metal, and therefore will turn this mashkin into rishon. You look at him with your mouth hanging open. What the heck are you talking about? No matter what touched those mashkin, it would have made it a rishon. If it was a sheni latum, it would have made it a rishon. The only nafkamina you're saying is that one was tfuyom and one wasn't tfuyom. So that can't possibly be the case of Rabbi Akiva. He's got to hold that mashkin have real tumah that's detectable in a tumah meter. So if that's the case, then he must hold, as we concluded, said Rava, that Rabbi Akiva holds tumah mashkin. The time acherim is tumah d'oraita. Great. Elashmamina d'oraita hi. So Amar Rabbi Meir, min divreihem lav mat, comes along Rabbi Meir to say, well, it's evident from the above. It's not clear what the above is, but it's evident from the above. Not sure does it mean Rabbi Akiva, does it mean just kind of gone in. But whatever he does mean, it's evident from the above that you can go ahead and burn truma that's completely tahar with truma that's tamei if it's erev Pesach. And now it's the sixth hour. Does one want to say it's the seventh hour? Because the Mishnah is saying stama case to burn the time that you normally would burn, which is during the sixth hour. So in other words, oh man. So now we're getting into a case where d'oraisa, the truma, is perfectly kosher. You'd even be able to eat it. It's certainly not tome. You're telling me that I can understand from the above cases that I can take kosher truma and be metame it. The Torah said there's a little iser called the mishmeret trumotai. Well, so what's the case? What b'divrem? B'divrem d'man. From whose words did you conclude that, Rabbi Meir? From whose words? Were you talking about, based on what Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim said? What did Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim said? He said that something that is tamei, you can make it more tamei. He didn't say something that is tar, you can make it tamei. Mi dami? Well, what's the comparison? Hatam tamei v'tamei, achatar v'tamei. Well, how could you possibly be metami something which is Torah d'oraita and go ahead and be metami it now? Ela what? You're talking about Divi Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva, the shemen that was nogea b'tfuyom is in tamei. So it's not tamei, but it's paso. So over there, no, it's paso. Now you're being metami. I don't understand. You're telling me a case of tohar. It's completely tohar and I should go now and be metami. How does that follow from either Rabbi Akiva or for Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, by the further stretches of the imagination? Unless, you know what we could say? Neimaka Sava Rabbi Meir, that the Mishnah is talking about an av hatuma d'oraisa, and vlad hatuma d'rabbanan. In other words, Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim's case was that even though the baser had originally come in contact only with a vlad atuma d'rabbanan, and therefore midiraita tahor ma'aliyah, it's perfectly tahor, but I'm not allowed to eat it because the rabbanan asked it in eating. And therefore the Chiddush Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim is saying, midirei Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, that I can take truma, which is actually tahor midiraita, and be metame it, because it was Tomei Midrabbanan, so that must be the case over here. Truma Tahira, during the sixth hour, is kosher Midiraisa, but is also to eat Midrabbanan. So apparently, once something is also to eat Midrabbanan, it's okay to be Metamei to Midrabbanan with Tumid Raisa. So then I should also be able to be Metamei also to Rabbanan with Tumid Raisa. Because since I can't use it, the Torah wasn't makbid on Mishmeret Trumotai. That must be what he's saying.
Midrabbanan becomes a kula.
Because l'maisak, it's the same thing like trying to be Makadish and Isha. We have filu b'chita kud and aita. Rabbanan asked it, it's no longer usable for Kiddush. According to some, that was the way it worked. According to others, it was because it's called a Makadish and aita drabbanan. But I mean, if you learn that it's in terms of its value, so something that Lamaisa says, Hailach Le'ibud, as Tosis explained earlier, it's Hailach Le'ibud, so now no longer the Torah says, well, I'm going to tell you to be Makbid on something that you're going to have to burn anyway in it. What's the point of the Hakbada? If it's something that's usable, I'm telling you to be Makbid. Lamaisa, it's not usable for whatever reason, so there's no point in the hakapada. In which case, the din, the rabbana, now impacts the diraisa. Okay. We'll see.
We'll see the next possibility,
but it goes on for quite a ways. Starting from Yud Gimel. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Alok, Rabbi Yehuda, Om Alei Rav Rav Nachman, Neim Amar Alok, Rabbi Meir, Desata Lamentana Kavatei, Tetzan Kosh, Ashi Mutar Lechol Ma'achil, Ahil Atzthama, Mishum Dekashi Mutar, it should have just said, Ochel Ma'achil. Okay, so the Neim Amar Alok, Rabbi Yom Leo, because he's a Ma'akriya, Om Alei Rabbi Yom Leo, Lav Ma'akriya, Utam Nanav Sheka Omar, neither of them talked about Chulin and Truma, V'boitema Rav Di Omar Ki Haitana, the Tanya. And here's the rub, gentlemen. Ad arba shaot, which is pure review, the man. Divrei Rebbe Elazar ben Yehuda ish par tuta shamar mishum Rebbe Yoshua. Amru lo tahorot lo yisufu shemi yimtzu lehem ochlim. Amar lehem kvar bikshu velo matzu. Amru lo shem achutzu chomalanu. Omalem Solidi Brechem, after Luyot Lizwashami Avo Eliyov, Itarem, or what? Omalem, no, Eliyov, you don't have to worry about. Guess, you always have to worry about. From Muftak, when Lizrosh, Ein Eliyov, Lobar Veshabatot, Lobar Veyamim Tov, Vinea Torah. Omalem, Zadun, Nishamat, Shekavu, Alakak, Rebelezab, and Yuda, Ishbar Tuta, Shiomer, Nishum, Rebbe Yoshua. I assume that that includes Afilu Leachol, meaning Arba Shaod. Omalem, Papa, no. Abu Lechol, Levaer. He just the heter to burn before Shabbos. And the truth is, Rebbe also is like Rav Nachman, that the halach is like Rav Nachman, Reviyit amaral hamtein, chabishit amaral, whoops, tseo mokr bashuk, so my lab, lenochrim, that's just too late already to eat it, Reviyit, otherwise why did he eat himself? Reviyit said, nah, li yisro, Reviy Meir, amalei abay li yisro, and lishke lenafshe, that's another halacha, it's b'shum chshoda, tetanya gabae tzadaka, she'in le'emaniyim lechalek, portin la'acherim, ve'in portin la'atzman. Gabait tamchui, she'en lamanim lechalek, mochrin lacherim, mochrin lacman, mishom sheneemar, v'yitem nekiim mihashem imyisra. Omle, Rav Adam Amas, Rav Yosef, beferish amretlan, tsei, umochran lenochrim, k'reb Yehuda. Omle, Rav Yosef, k'man ozo hashmai to the Rebbe. It's gotta be Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Tanan. Ha'mavkit perot etzach havero, afilu ein avudim lo yigabe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, omer mochran bebeidin, b'bnei ha'shavat avida. Omle, Abay, v'la, v'itmar, omer, Rabba, Barbachan, Rav Yochanan, Loshono Ella Bichdei Chisronan, Avoyoter Michdei Chisronan Mochram Beidi, Koshken Hocha Pasi Lagamri, everybody's motive. What are you supposed to let the guy lose all his money? Vyodam Rabbi Yerushte Chalot, Tony Tanaka made a review, Al Gava Itztaba, like our Mishnah has the Girsa, Omar Leva Kigla, Tznian, who's sorry, who's going to see it there? Tznian Gaga Itztaba, Omrukova, Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Style Kafulaya, Taninami Yaka, Rabbi Style Kafulaya, Rabbi Yonamir, it was called Istavnit, Aitanik, right? Which is a stau lifni mistau. Psulot, am I psulot? Om Rabbi Chayira, what? Mito shayim rubot, nifsalat belina, the Tanya. Ein bevim toda bachagamat sotim necham etshibab asher, open up pshita. Om Rabbi Adabaram, no, I mean, Achabar Arbaz, I was kidding. So I mean, we think kashbat absul. So therefore, kulei amar bishlosha, am I telling me, to shayim rubot, there's not enough koinim to eat, nifsalat belina. Okay, so do. No, Shabbat Azeva. So then, night is Zeva Chacham and Nishchad. It's talking about a case where he said Zoto Dabe Zolach Market a Rabba. Doma Rabba. Avad Halecha maybe Lechem Acher, but of that Todah, ain't maybe Todah Acheret. My time Alechem Glal Todah, vein Todah Glal Lechem. There is no way that you can hook up a new Todah to that Lechem. So when if Rakino, when Afkino Lukuma, because there's no Kedushat Aguf, Elo Yolam Shenishkat Alayim Azeva, V'nishpach Adam, who command Kareb, Yom Rabar, Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim, like here, we have both Shchita and Zrika, Ma'alim Zeh below Zeh, at least incrementally. D'tanya kivsi atzeret en mekatshin et alachem ala b'shchita. Keitzar shachta lishman v'zorak daman lishman seden kiddush alechem. Shachta shalal lishman v'zorak daman shalal lishman lo kiddush alechem. Shachta lishman v'zorak daman shalal lishman lechem kadosh ve'en al kadosh. In other words, it's kadosh to be nifsal. You can't eat it yet, divrei Rebbe. So you see, even without the full matir, it's still already kadosh. Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Le'olam, Enoch, Kadosh, Alechem, Achi, Yishkot, Lishman, Yizrok, Damam, Lishman. So it's like, I feel it, Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon. Maybe it's talking about over here, she's Kabila Dam, Bekotz, and then it was Nishpak, and Rebbe Lozer holds like his father, there was Kadom, it is like his heart, Dami. Tanim, Yishom, Rebbe Lozer, Amru, Ksherot, Ayu, and Kozman, Shimon, Achot, Kalam, Ochlin, Nitlach, Bim, Tolin, Lachlim, Lachlim, Nitlush, Tehem, Itchilu, Kalam, Sorfin, according to Tolitzvist, but of course not the challah. You eat the challah because it's going to be a meal. Nitlush tehem itchilu kulan sarfin. Tanya Abba Shaul omer, shtei parot hayu chorshot bar ha-mishcha, kozman she shteihem chorshot kalam ochli. Nitla achat mehem toli, lo ochli melo sarfin. Nitlush tehem itchilu kulam sarfin. Ubechadin eskan ha-kohanim omer, mimeyem shokohanim lo nimnu milisrof et ha-basar, shenitma bevlad ha-tuma, im ha-basar shenitma ba-av ha-tuma, אף על פי שמוסיפים טומאה או טומאתו. הוס רבי עקיבא אמר ממיהם שכהנים לא נמנו מלהעתיק את השמן שנפסל בטבול יום בנר שנטמע בטמא מת. אף על פי שמוסיפים טומאה או טומאתו. אומר רבי מאיר, מדבריהם למדנו ששורפים תשומה תורה עם הטמע בפסח. אומר רבי יוסי, וואי, הנה ימידה. ומודים רבי אליעזר רבי יהושע ששורפים זו לעצמה וזו לעצמה. על מה נחלקו עוני על התלויה ועל הטמאה? Over there, even. Though it's Tuluya. Rabbi Eliezer says, Tisarev Zulatzva, Zulatzva. Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, since it's Tuluya, Shteyev Yachas. Michte. Bosa Shnitma Bevlad HaTuma is what? Sheni. So Tisarev Labaade Bosa Shnitma Avatuma, what is it going to be? It's a Sheni. Whoops. Sheni V'Sheni. So my Mosel HaTuma HaTumasa. Ika. Am Rabbi Yuna, Ocha Bevlad Vlada, Skinan Avelay Shlishi, Chedish Bein, Kazav Shishmuto HaZaz HaSheni. Therefore, it's been time I'm not going to Hi, ima basar shnit ma bava tuma. Ima basar mashkin. It should have said. And he didn't know how to talk about the right to me. Matame. Hosef Rabbi Akiv. Mi meim shakarim lo nimnu milahadi. Let's get the case straight. Shem shnit sa betfu yom ayavi shlishi. So ki madik lay b'ner shnit ma betame meit mayavi. Sheni. So my kamashman. That the shlishi mutu asot sheni. Hainu ha. אמר רבי ירח, מנר שמתך את הסכים. כמו נאמר בחלל חרב חרב עליל כחלל, והאב אלי אב התאומה, וכסב השלישי מותר לעשותו ראשון. ומה הדוח כדי רבי ירח, נוקלי בנר שמתך את נוקלי בנר של חרס, ומה יוסיף? תאילוהת תמי ותמי ולאח הפסול ותמי. אמר רובה, because the language of the Mishnah קשיטה. מה היה רדת על הנר שנקבל בתמי מת? נתנה שנקבל בשרץ, or whatever, אני אב התאומה. אלא איזהו דבר שחלוקה תאומתו, בין תומת מת לשרץ, הוויומר זה מתכך. אומר רבא שמע מן הכסף רבי עקיבא, תומת משקי לטעמי אחרים דאורייתא, ויסרק דרבנן מיכתא. היי נר מייקה מהניה להי שמן, אילי יפסו לגופי הפסוק הכל. ממאי דאמר לטעמי אחרים מרבנן, כזה מרבנן, מוצא דווקא מיניה וצבעה בתומה, אפילו בראשון ושני נמי הוא דמד את התומה בראשון. תצלם כל הפסוק את התרומה, which is the case over here exactly. Take it full yom, put it into a rishon. What? You're saying you can even take the harvest tame. Ella what? It's still not similar. Unless you're ready to say that because over here. Maslisim Bava Tuma Dioraita and Vada Tuma Rabbanan, in which case it's saying Midiraita was actually Torma Alya. And then, my Midivreya, Midivreya, Mchanina's Gana Kohanim. Since Min Rabbanan it's Tame, there's no problem anymore of Mishmeret Trumatai. So since over here Min Rabbanan it's Osirti because of Chometz, There's also no problem with Shmiras Shemitah. Maybe that's what you mean. Let's see tomorrow whether there's options.